Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Full EV or plug-in hybrid? Go electric with Kia. For more, log on to kia.com.
And you're welcome back. I want to go now to Miriam Owens. Good afternoon, Miriam.
Hi, Katie. How are you?
You're down there in my home county.
Yes, and I think I've spoken to all the staff.
Right, Miriam. We were talking in the office today about love in the time of COVID, and you know the obstacles and the difficulties that has thrown up. But your story is really remarkable. How you first of all, it's second time round for you, is it?
Oh, definitely second time round, and hopefully the last time round.
Right.
But I thought COVID would either make us or break us. But actually, it made us. So,
tell us how you met your partner.
Oh God, I met Eddie 5 and a half years ago on March 21st, 2000, whatever that year was, 2015.
Yeah.
And I was out. I had good friends since I was a teenager and married couple, like, and I was at their wedding and I was on my own, so I'd meet them up on the Sunday night and just go for a bit of karaoke. And my sister Breed used to say, look, you're never going to meet someone on a Sunday night. I said, you never know. Tonight could be the night. So I was out and sitting with my friends, Breed and Tim, wonderful people. And the next thing, my niece and my nephew came in. They were together, so they were going to the barge. So I go home after the karaoke in Turner's. And next thing, she said, no, but come on. She said, I said, oh, I don't know. She said, come on. So I'm kind of small, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And she was catching my hand. I felt like a little child, but that's okay too. And she just opened the door of the barge. And Jackie, bless her, she kind of, you know, the door shut. I fell. And then this man, handsome went, of what I could see of him. I fell and I went, ow. And he went, wow. And that was like... picked me up and we chatted and exchanged phone numbers and the rest is history.
So you said, ow. You said, ow, and he said, wow.
Yeah, I said, ow, and I did. I actually cut my knee. And, you know, and then that's how it all started. And I really thought it was too good to be true because I gave him my number. We exchanged phone numbers and... The following morning, I said, you know what, I'm going to ring him. Now, I couldn't really remember his name, you know, but I think it had something to do with a truck. I said, Eddie Stobart, and I was thinking like that. And of course, he called me Miranda, and I called him, I don't know. And that's the conversation started, and that's where the love blossomed. The seed was planted in the barge.
And that was 5 years ago. But roll on then to COVID.
Lockdown. COVID, oh my God.
And
Eddie works for the HSE
right.
as housekeeping, so he could be anywhere, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it started, and I was just back from visiting my granddaughter, and my son was in London.
Mm-hmm.
And then the COVID started, and then it was like, get the blow up bed, you have to go downstairs now. And it's like, I thought it might only last a couple of weeks.
And this is because Eddie had to self-isolate because of the job he was doing, is it?
Yeah, but well, I kind of self-isolated myself from Eddie because I was afraid that I get something, and then I give him something, and then lockdown. And then, like, I said, here I am now, up in the bedroom. Eddie's down, so kind of we were talking, but not, I had no cuddle. It was something that I would have had a cuddle every day, a few times a day, or if it was at work, we'd talk, and, you know, I just missed the physical contact with him.
And did you stay totally separate? I mean, as in, did you
totally,
go... Totally.
Totally. Totally. Totally. It's like I was stripped of all my, you know, all the cuddles. And all. It was like, it was when, I mean, at night time, I'd cry into my phone and record myself. I mean, it was that bad. Like, is I ever going to see him again? He's going to go to the hospital. Is he going to come back? And I'm up in the room 16 weeks.
But you did have virtual date nights.
No, then I decided one night, you know, because, you know, I miss my sisters. You know, I was seeing nobody,
mm-hmm.
any on the phone. And, you know, what I do know, I surprise him. So we'd have a date night. So, of course, I dressed up upstairs in bed. and put on my good clothes as if I was going to the club, mm-hmm. and had my bottle of Prosecco, and I rang him, and he goes, "Where are you?" I said, "I'm upstairs, though." He went, "Oh, yeah." And we just started chatting, and that's the virtual date without touching, but I felt closer to him because I couldn't get that close to him when I spoke to him, but through the phone, I could get very close to him.
And did he know you were dressed up with a glass of Prosecco?
Oh, yeah, sure, I'd be dancing and everything, do you know, just talking about how we met, stuff that we wouldn't have talked about in a while, but then kind of I would dress up going to the dump, do you know, and it was kind of everything, I've never felt so excited getting rid of my rubbish, then I could actually dress up and walk into a recycling place and be dressed up and didn't care, you know? And Eddie didn't care.
But why were you dressing up going to the recycling centre?
First of all, because the clothes mightn't have fitted me. And, you know, I felt that I was constantly in my pyjamas. And I said, I'm going to the dump, so I might as well dress up. And then I dress up for going up, you know, for Eddie. Like, I mean, and then one night, how could you... I was sitting in the bed and he said to me, "We'd have a date tonight." Like we'd make dates, like. And next thing, I was ready and he's supposed to bring me. Next thing, I'm waiting. He stood me up, like, downstairs. I went, "Eddie." And he went, "What?" And I said, "I'm ready, like, for the last hour. You're late." I said, "Don't be late tomorrow night. We're only downstairs." But that was the fun, Katie. That's the fun.
And did it bring a spark back, the need to be separated?
It definitely did bring a spark, because it was actually, we found it hilariously funny that the fact that I'm upstairs, he's downstairs, and we were able to have sometimes a better communication because we spoke more. You know, I never shut up anyway, but he probably got more of, you know, it was just to keep him and he'd be feeling sorry for me and I'd be feeling sorry for him. But he felt sorry for me more because I was upstairs. And then I couldn't go near the living room because the whole bed was taken up the living room because it's not very big. Mm-hmm. And then, Katie, after 16 weeks, I pretended the dog broke the bed. So I put a pin in it. And I said, "This is it, like." I came home and I said, "The bed is punctured. The dog did it, Kizzy."
You punctured the blow-up bed?
Oh, yeah. Oh my God.
Because you thought something has to give here.
I something had to give, and you know, I had to give, all right, but anyway, that was fine. Everything was great. He delighted, like, you know, I think we came to that date, but you know, Eddie kind of forgot, like, mm-hmm. and I think another week had passed, and I said, "No, I have to do something here." And, you know, he was getting very comfortable downstairs, Katie, you know, I think he liked the old WhatsApp date. So anyway, I came upstairs and he stepped in the bed, but he forgot he was upstairs. Of course, he went up to go to the toilet and he fell off. He fell down the stairs.
He'd had 16 weeks on the ground floor.
Yeah. And he forgot them. And he turned left like he would downstairs with the toilet up. He came up the stairs with a cup of tea, hobbling. What happened?
And Miriam, have you just given up on the isolation now at this stage? Did you just say, "Look, we have to get on with things"?
Because, you know, he still does the, we still do kind of, I wouldn't say the strip act, you know, but when he comes in, he takes off the clothes, you know, and everything is kind of, you know.
Into the washing machine, yeah.
But I would still kind of be on the session with kind of, you know, next to him, not next to him, that kind of way. It's still there, the fear is still there. But other than that, like that, I mean, everybody.
But you've decided you just have to get on with your life and with your relationship.
And he's very, you know, in the hospital. The hospital is the cleanest place in the world. Like, it's not because Eddie works there, but it really is. And I know that they're spotless. You know, the hospital that he works in.
Yeah, I think we don't give enough, because we talk an awful lot about nurses and about doctors, but we don't give enough credit, I think, for people who are actually absolutely on the front line with the virus, and that the people who are keeping
and
the place
I do
clean
say that
of germs.
Because if the hospital wasn't clean, you couldn't go in there.
Absolutely.
And so basically, I always say it's, you know, everybody, and I mean, I know the way Eddie worked 12-hour shifts, and he'd come home and he'd collapse, like, and it's
a huge extra strain on people in the job that Eddie's doing, yeah.
A job would, a ward would do, whatever, I'll do, how long it takes him, but it's 3 times longer with this, so, and it's the sanitizing, I mean, at some stage his hands were red from the, you know, the...
From the sanitizer in the washing.
Sanitizer, you know, and... Yeah. Buying him the creams and just it's just but the fun, I think, you know, like it was great because the there was something different and something that I hadn't experienced before, and I wonder that I would want to experience it again.
But you made the best out of it, Mary.
I made the best out of it, and I got a great crack out of it as well. You know.
Well, I'm delighted to hear your story, Miriam. Love in the time of COVID, Miriam and Eddie in Tralee. Thank you for that. We'll take a break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.